This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a
hump day.
Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it as always. Tons hump to get into day. Over the next 3 hours. We talked about the first couple of days of this week. Just huge, huge events all week long. Obviously, Georgia headed to Tuscaloosa on Saturday night. The Saints are in town to play the Falcons on Sunday. Fun Thursday night game tomorrow night as well. But the Mets and the Braves kicked off last night. And boy, do the Braves meet the moment. Dude. Spencer Schwellenbach just continues to be fantastic. Michael Harris.
Andy, it seems like everything we talked about yesterday kind of sort of happened.
All the stuff we asked for yesterday kind of happened yesterday. With a sprinkling of, because you don't have to ask for it, because it just happens, a sprinkling of the Mets meting.
Yes.
Because they did some Mets stuff in that game, which is great.
They did, but I thought everything we asked for, Michael Harris is just unbelievable. He is. I mean, since he's been healthy, this dude is, and I remember I asked Grant last week when we talked to Grant, I was like, if this dude puts together a whole season, is it possible he could be the best center fielder in baseball? I think he can.
I think he definitely can. You see the leather. He was amazing.
He was amazing last night. The great catch, obviously, Ronald Acuña Jr.'s brother. Yeah. You see him teasing him, which is why I saw the post on his IG this morning. So that was pretty damn funny.
Having Ronald Acuña healthy enough to be in Atlanta now, in that stage of his rehab, and in the dugout heckling his brother.
He loved it.
In the biggest series of the
love
year
to see it.
Is so great.
Love to see it.
It makes it so much more fun.
Love to see it, man. But I thought just Schwelly was just in command the whole day.
Phenomenal.
He was in command the whole day. Only blimps I saw was Arcia let a couple get away from him.
Yep.
That was my biggest takeaway of some of the things. But yeah, obviously the thing about today is with this weather coming in, you just don't know when they're going to be able to play again. Yeah. And it seems to me, I'm listening to Steak and Sandra. I talked to Bo because Bo works down there. I was like, well, when would you probably know? And they said the weather's going to come in about 3 o'clock. We probably should know probably pretty early because it seems like it's going to be a continuously thing for the next 2 days with this rain.
It sounds like once it starts, it's not going to stop until Friday at some point.
Yes.
And it sounds like Thursday night it's going to get real nasty.
Yes.
Windy and really coming down because of the whatever the weather is coming in from the hurricane. The hurricane itself is actually going to get here around then, I guess. So, first and foremost,
pray for your people, man.
Beyond just the sports of it, for sure. Pray for your people and also, take precaution, whatever part of town you might be in and all that. I know different parts of town get different impacts from stuff like this
and
floods and all that. So, for whatever you need to do to get ready for that, hopefully we're not the first ones telling you about this.
Right.
But if we are, some bad weather's coming through over the next couple of days. Take precautions where you can. A couple different thoughts came to mind with this, because with weather events like this, we know, right? There's a little bit of time in advance to know, like a lot of rain delays that happen up there at Truist in the summer here, you just get those quick storms that roll through around 7 o'clock. And then normally you can first pitch at like 8 or something. They've known this is going to happen. Why don't they just start today early?
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
I don't know. Start at one day.
And I
don't know.
To get both games in. I know tomorrow is what it is, but start early today.
I know, and I heard the boys talking about Deuce, but they were talking about this yesterday as far as you know it's coming.
Yeah.
You have a feeling when it's going to come, and you don't know when it's going to actually stop. I mean, that Friday, whatever, but anything can happen with these things. But yeah, that was my thing. Why didn't you just move the game up to an afternoon game? But Bo wouldn't be able to make no money today because Bo's doing solo today. So.
Well, either that or he'd be down there.
Yeah, he'd be down there.
And Abe could stop being loafing around.
Yeah, we'd be stuck with Garrett, which is cool.
I like Garrett.
I like Garrett and everything.
You know he's well hydrated.
Yeah. No, the Stanley Cup pack a punch. But I think that, that's going to be – because who does this help? Who does this time off – who does it hurt? Who does it
hurt? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I probably – I would say hurts the Braves because the way that you're going to have to play it is you're going to have to move your starters. You had it set up perfect.
Right.
Schwellenbach went yesterday, and as confident as we were in him, he's the one of the three that I was most like, all right, this biggest game of his life.
Right.
It's the biggest game of his life.
I wasn't worried about him.
Who are you worried about?
Max.
Oh, but Max, all right.
I don't know. Man, right. Max be getting on my damn nerves this year,
he's
man.
He's been so good lately, though.
But he's getting on my damn nerves. Every time he's been so good when he's good lately, it's one of them, damn, Max, that glove be flapping and everything. So if they have
but to there move, haven't been that much flapping, he's just been hurt.
If they have to move the game, then what does that have to do with the pitching?
Well, I mean, you got to move around your rotation because you're going to have to game on Friday, right? I mean, I guess you could have Sale simulate a game today.
Ooh.
And then try to, I don't know. I don't know what you do. But it throws your whole thing off.
I know
it throws your whole rotation.
I would have thought.
Or you wait for Sale because you also need to beat the Royals.
Yeah, but I would have, oh, damn, you're absolutely correct. Wow.
And the Royals are playing for something, too. They're playing for the wild card in the American League.
So you put Charlie in?
I don't know. Mm. I don't know. But again, if you don't play today or tomorrow,
right,
and Sale's supposed to go today, and Freed is supposed to go tomorrow,
right,
maybe you just pitch Sale on Friday, a couple extra days rest, as they were doing with him throughout the season,
right?
You just sort of bump it back like that. But then if you have a doubleheader on Monday, then Sale and Freed can't go. Since Sale would go Friday, Freed would go Saturday,
so Charlie,
and then Charlie would go Sunday. And then Schwellenbach probably could come back Monday because he pitched yesterday, so he'd be able to go Monday and who? I mean, that's the
so they go no
Ronaldo Lopez.
Lopez ain't there.
They're not back yet.
Is this when you bring in? No, I can't.
Can you even do that now?
I don't know
if you can do that anymore.
I doubt it, man.
I mean, you don't really. No offense to the guy, Grant Holmes has been fantastic, but the last thing you want to do in a and it might be win to go to the playoffs type game against the Mets if it were a doubleheader.
Somebody's got to go on short rest.
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody's got to go on short rest.
Or you stagger it different and have somebody else go Friday or Saturday or Sunday so you can keep Sale or Freed or, I guess, Charlie. You could delay Charlie so you could have Schwellenbach and Morton on Monday if it was a doubleheader. I don't know. That's why they pay Snit all that money.
Yes.
That's why they pay all these guys to make these decisions. Doesn't it just feel, as we were kind of talking about this yesterday, about you know what you need to do in the final six games of the season in order to get where you want to go. You control your own situation, even as bad as the whole season has been. But there was never going to be an easy path in these final six games.
No.
Even though last night they went out there and did the best thing possible. They played great. The guys that needed to hit.
Mm-hmm.
The pitchers pitched. Schwellenbach was great. The guys in the bottom end of the
line. Soler was good in the field.
Didn't screw anything up. Yeah, Soler made a couple plays in the outfield that didn't embarrass himself. And Michael Harris was a superstar. So great, that's exactly what you want, but it can't be easy.
No.
The weather's like, no, the Braves are playing too good.
Nah.
We gotta blow a hurricane into town to try to make sure we mess up the scheduling of this thing.
Nah.
Yeah, because it was just, last night was almost, I don't want to say like there was no stress because it's a big game, but like
it was,
in terms of a game like that, it was pretty stressless.
It flowed.
And then Iglesias is able to get through the ninth inning in five pitches, which
it was a nice flow to a game, to a win. I know you had the one hiccup with the home run, the solo home run. What was that, seventh inning or
if
something?
If he's going to give up one run every 14 innings,
I'm good to go against the Mets. I'm good to go on
I can
that.
Handle that.
I'm good to go on that. I just, you know, just the energy was there amongst the team. You saw that. You saw just guys on that thing where we talk about it's a dire type thing right now. You know, it's you're playing for like in a situation where win, lose, or go home. You know,
and
you have to figure out a way to win all these games, or maybe drop one. I need you to win all six, but you can't win six if you don't get the one. So they got the one, and now we have to hold out and see what's going to happen as far as do they play today, tomorrow, Friday. How does MLB structure the Friday game? I mean, you still have so much, especially if it's going to be like it's supposed to be today as far as the weather over here in Georgia.
I will say this. As much as it sucks, and it would be way better if they could just play today, tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and do it normal. Like, if they have to play a winner-take-all doubleheader against the Mets on Monday, that's kind of awesome.
It's going to be dope as hell.
Like, that's like, you know, that's just all day. That's 6 or 7 hours of baseball on Monday to make the postseason, just to get into the postseason, then you have to win a bunch to actually win a championship. But like that actually lines up to be a pretty fun day. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like that would be pretty cool if that's what happened. Now, you'd have to then take care of your business against the Royals. The Mets would have to go do their thing over the weekend because they're leaving. They're going to play elsewhere, and then they would come back on Monday. Yeah, no, that's hard. That's harder for them, for
sure. I need them to do that.
It screws them up more than it screws the Braves up in terms of travel.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I need them to do that because they're the ones got to come back here. But I don't want – but it seems like it's a foregone conclusion that this something's going to be – some games are going to be missed.
Seems like it. Who knows? Maybe the rain will hold off.
Who knows? It might turn somewhere.
Maybe.
I don't know, man. I don't live through them things, man. And I've been to a point where it strengthened as it got closer to me, and then they got the weekend as it got
closer. Have any indoor baseball options around here anywhere?
I'm sure they know North Cobb options up there. Maybe no fans can get in there.
I guess it's probably short notice. Close the roof over there, Mercedes Benz,
and paint some field, paint some lines.
Paint the line. It's a short porch out there and left, but no, I know you can't do that. It would be nice to have a retractable roof, but I also understand that's a couple extra $100 million.
Oh.
We're already footing the bill up there in Cobb County anyway.
I know, dog. I mean, what's a little bit more to y'all?
What's another closed library or school?
Yeah, what's a little bit more?
Lily and Jack don't need textbooks when they get to elementary school.
Okay, I know I got to get out. Did you see this thing? I saw this morning what the Pittsburgh Pirates did to their first baseman.
Yeah.
That's foul.
It is.
That's so foul. Yeah, you cut the dude.
So Rowdy Tellez was four at-bats away from a $200,000 bonus.
Yes. All he had to do was go up there.
Just play today.
That's it.
And he would have got $200,000, and they cut him.
That's just, like, how good is he?
He's all right.
But is he their starting first baseman?
Yeah, he's been their starting
first baseman.
Yeah, yeah.
All year long. And then you get there, and then this man supposed to make $200,000
uh-huh.
to play a baseball game.
Uh-huh.
One baseball game.
You know what a bum-ass franchise you have to be, though, to care about $200,000?
A bum-ass franchise.
Like, I mean offense by that. Like, $200,000 to a major league baseball team
should not be
isn't
lot.
Anything, but they're a cost cutting organization.
That's foul, man.
They're one of those. Penny pinching.
Can he sue? No, he can't sue because it's his contract.
He still made $3.5 million this year.
I love it, but I wanted to make 3.7
would have been better.
Yeah,
than 3.5.
Man, I'd be bashing windows in this.
A lot of people making financial decisions in the world of sports. Not just Antonio Pierce talking about his team. Rowdy Tellez getting cut by the Pirates.
That's foul, man.
Sounds like the UNLV quarterback tried to extort his coach in the middle of the week.
Dude, I don't want to be mad at this kid, but then you're looking at it now because there's rumors are on both sides.
Yep.
Which side of the rumors do you believe?
I don't know.
Because the one thing we know, he's leaving. He's leaving.
He's not playing for UNLV.
But did he try to shake the coach down?
That's what it sounds like.
Or something that was promised didn't get paid.
I
don't know.
I don't want to be mad at the kid or the school, be mad at the system.
Because
it is a systemic problem that this is what's happening.
Yeah,
like that there's no actual rules in place about NIL yet to where guys could just be like, I need a little bit more.
Hey,
man.
Coach, I got you 3-0, baby. All right, 3-0, baby.
3-0.
Let me hold some more.
We beat Kansas. I need another couple $100,000. Wow. Dollars. Like, wait, what? What do you think this is, man? I guess they're in Vegas.
Yeah. What goes on in Vegas stays in Vegas, except your quarterback
who's now leaving. We'll talk about that later in the show. We'll try to get more information on it too, because I don't want to crap on a kid with like a half-reported story, but it seems pretty grimy from him. We'll come back. We'll get to what's trending. Kick off the show. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We'll tell you what Brian Snitker is talking about here.
Remind me of Andrew in center field, that play he made.
Hey, we were talking about guys named Andrew yesterday. Andy as well. We'll find out who Snit. We know who Snit was talking about there. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Michael will charge. Oh, we got it. Michael Harris, full extension grab to Rob Acuna.
Yeah, that's good timing.
Weird
timing. Say that. I mean, it's the right time of year to get hot for, there's a few of them that, you know, we've been struggling to score runs, hitting them with guys on base, and now all of a sudden starting to, I'm just, remind me of Andrew in center field, that play he made.
Makes plays like that all the time, man. Last night he was also 3-for-4 at the plate, 2 RBIs, home run. Just, he's been red hot. I saw a number last night. He's been, him and Ohtani have been the two best hitters in baseball the last 2 weeks. Take that. Matt Olson's been the best hitter in baseball the last 50 games, so he's been hot at the right time. Ozzie with some a good, found the hole.
Yeah,
whatever. Hey, they haven't been finding holes for 3 months.
I know, dog.
So
they got it.
They're finding the holes now, which is fantastic.
And, like Bo said, he was a triple away from the damn cycle.
Love it.
Love it. I mean, yeah, I mean, hey, whatever is positive, we need it.
Yeah.
Whatever's positive.
No, but here's the thing, and we said this yesterday. There are guys in this lineup that are legitimately great.
Yes.
They have to be. There are guys in this lineup that aren't. They just have to be not terrible. And the not terrible guys last night were fine. There was 3 hits between the four of them, right? I'm not joking.
Tell me who are these guys again?
The guys that are not terrible?
Yes.
Laureano. Darno's been mostly good, but he's cooled off lately. And then, obviously, the other catcher has been very bad. Urshela and Arcia.
Okay.
Those guys are... They're not terrible. They're not great.
Yeah.
We just have to. They just have to not embarrass themselves.
Just don't
stink. Harris, Albies, Ozuna, Olsen, and Soler are all very good.
Yes.
And capable of carrying a lineup, which is what they're going to have to do because the bottom four aren't great.
Correct.
The pitching is great, and it was again last night. So all that to say, like, if you're getting this type of starting pitching, and I know you can't count on 7 innings, 1 earned run every single night, but this type meaning what they've gotten for the last couple of months, and if those guys at the top of the lineup do what they're capable of, you can really beat anybody.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of it all clicking at the same time.
And we needed to click now, though.
Yeah, right.
We need to click now.
Click last night.
And stay clicking, Andy, until, because we have been a part of this as a Braves team, a clicking team that you're probably better than, but they start clicking at the right time.
Yeah.
Beat your head in.
Yeah.
It happens.
That's all you got to do.
That's all you got to do is click. And then you, I mean, but.
Wasn't that a movie with Adam Sandler?
With the remote control, right?
Remote control,
yeah. Remote control, yeah.
Was that any good?
It was all right. It was all right.
He could, like, pause real life?
Yeah, he can pause it and fast forward through. It was okay.
Interesting. There are parts of life I would like to fast forward through.
Obviously, yeah. But yeah, it was cool.
Okay. Here's the numbers on Schwellenbach. Obviously, phenomenal last night. He's got a 3 ERA and 13 starts against teams with winning records.
Mm-hmm.
He's 2-0 with a .64 ERA and 2 starts against the Mets with 15 strikeouts.
I mean, he's been good, Andy.
But then against teams that are the best in the National League, not just above .500, I think he's had 8 starts against the teams that are probably going to the playoffs. His ERA is sub-2.
What's his record in those games, though?
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. How much run support is he getting in those games?
Well, he's getting a little bit more now.
Yeah, I mean, now he is. Got off definitely. To a terrible remember start. Earlier on, yeah.
Yeah, no, but he's like... What a find.
He solidified his roster spot next year, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He solidified that already.
Like, he's on the verge of getting a contract. You know how Anthopoulos does it.
Yeah, we know that.
Like, he's on the verge of getting a 7-year, $22 million contract.
We're going to buy all your arbitration,
yeah.
And then we're going to give you
but, like, seriously,
7 years,
though,
$7 million.
Like, that's where he's at.
Yeah.
Like he makes one good playoff start. He's going to be making as much as Strider and Harris.
Yeah, I can. hey, that's what he does, man. I can honestly.
He's
going to
make more than Austin.
But the young boy has been really, really good, man. And I think I saw the news yesterday. There will be no Austin Riley, no matter what. So that he was still a little bothered by the wrist and hand and everything like that. So we know that we can't add him to what we're going to do. And plus, he's coming off injury. Ain't played in a while. Probably have to do. Do they still do rehab starts in playoffs? They don't do that, do they?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't even know where he'd rehab.
Yeah, exactly. Because is Gwinnett season off yet?
If it's not, it is soon.
Okay. And so, I mean, go. Let's just say do some simulated games.
Yeah.
Like they tried to do last year to keep their mojo going.
Didn't work.
Before the playoffs. Didn't work.
Well, if they get in this year, they won't have to simulate anything.
No, they just got to keep going.
Because there's a chance they'll have a doubleheader on Monday because of the weather that's coming to town today and tomorrow. If they win those and make it into the playoffs, they start playing immediately. That's another consideration for Major League Baseball, is if all this has to get moved around and they play Monday, the playoffs start like Tuesday
right.
or Wednesday.
Right.
Like, so that's a real... logjam.
It is.
Especially because the Mets and the Braves, possible both of them make the playoffs.
And they both,
but one of the two of them certainly will.
But and the thing about it, they got to go straight to it. Ain't no bye or no getting ready or nothing like that. So,
no, they're the third wild card.
Just like you said, man, it's going to be the way Snicker handles this right now. Because, like you said, if the Chiefs were like the Pirates or, you know, somebody that weren't playing for anything. You know what I mean? The Royals.
Oh, got it.
Yes, if the Royals were in a situation where they weren't playing for something, you might want to switch it up. But they're, you know what I mean? Because they're playing for their lives.
Right?
They need to beat the Braves also.
Yeah, the Royals are tied for that second wild card spot right now with the Detroit Tigers. Which, by the way, what a story.
Detroit is out
of nowhere. They've been playing like 800 baseball for the last month and a half to get in there. So they're right behind the – well, they're tied with the Tigers. The Twins are two games behind them. The Mariners are 2.5 games behind them. Tough night last night. My brother he rides and dies with the Mariners.
Oh.
Watching them just choke it away.
Still?
To the Astros.
Ryan's still there, huh?
Yeah, he's still there. He still lives
there.
Jason Hayward just ripping their hearts out. Jason Hayward, 3 home runs in 3 days for the Astros.
Unbelievable.
He was just out there. They picked him up.
Damn, I thought why did I think he went somewhere else before he went there?
Well, he was with the Dodgers.
The
Astros picked him up.
Okay.
And he's been helpful. Hit 3 home runs in 3 days. Just signed him just to rip my brother's heart out.
That's all it was.
Just Jason Hayward just ripping, just killing dreams. They had a 10-game lead in that division at one point during the season. And there it is. It's gone. And they're probably not going to make the playoffs.
I saw the Astros champagne party.
Yeah, they were having a party last night. They were celebrating, and they should. They won. Again, if the Braves play today, Chris Sale's on the mound. He's the best pitcher in the National League.
They need to go and go.
It'd be phenomenal if he could go today.
Go and go.
Probably not going to play today, though, because the weather's rolling in. Tomorrow's going to be even worse, so I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. They'll figure it out. Luckily, we don't have to. Kirby Smart here talking about freshman sensation wide receiver for Alabama, Ryan Williams.
He's in the same line with the guys they've had in the past. Super quick, talented, confident with the ball, great ball skills, great quickness. He's a track athlete that was elite. He's a junior. He comes out and he's already performing at a high level. I don't think that there's a lot of anxiety or nerves for him. He's not one of these guys that the moment's too big for him. He naturally jumped right in and has made plays in every game. They have a lot of really good skill players out on the perimeter, and I think that Jalen does a good job of using his skill set to get them the ball.
Yeah, pretty
he can ball.
Pretty wild story. I mean, he's 17, right?
Yeah.
17-year-old freshman.
That young boy.
He's got 4 touchdowns in 3 games, and he does. He looks like the next one of the Alabama wide receivers that are all over the NFL right now.
He's a great young player, man. And I saw we lost another damn player. It's like Linda Humphreys is going to be out this week.
Damn it.
Yeah, but they weren't using him any damn ways.
No.
But he's going to be out.
They did in the Clemson game.
But it looks like he's going to be out if you're reading the reports, if I'm just reading reports right. But yeah, I mean, this dude's a problem, man. And their problem, the biggest thing with Alabama, you got to make them drive the ball because they are a big play, big strike offense, man, with a quarterback that can get out of jams because he's faster than damn near everybody on the field already. And he has a rocket for a damn arm. So yeah, Georgia's going to have to be, you know, they're going to have to trust, everything that's in front of them and everything, but they got to be able to. And when I say drive, because that seems like they would take up time and everything if Georgia had a ball. But they can't get the big play to Alabama.
Yeah.
They got to keep everything in front of them. I said it yesterday, whichever quarterback plays the best is going to win this game. I believe that.
I believe that, too.
I believe Carson Beck has got to play the best game he's ever played because it's needed now. Because he has not looked like himself. And I talked to a couple of people that did a deep dive into the Kentucky game, and it seemed like it was a whole thing that was off as far as protection and his reads because he should have threw like 4 picks. And luckily, one guy dropped it. Then we know about the one that hit the ground, and he was just – it looked like Kentucky just confused him. And so I expect more from him. I expect a lot from him coming to this this season, and he needs to go out there and play well this week.
Yeah, if they can make Alabama have to go on long, sustained drives, doesn't that kind of feel like what Georgia's offense is also?
Yes.
Like, unfortunately, like the big strike, big play, explosive stuff just hasn't really been there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's because he's off. I don't know if it's because they don't have the dudes. I'm not sure. But – based on what they've looked like offensively outside of some of what they did in the second half against Clemson, maybe they're that too. Maybe they're sort of a methodical, matriculate the ball down the field offense.
But that's more Kirby style.
It is.
It's more Kirby style. That's not Kalen DeBoer style.
Nope.
Kalen's like, open it up and let go.
Yeah.
Let go.
It's hard to beat a team that is explosive when you play like that.
Yes.
Like, you have to make them play like that.
Yes.
But it's hard to make them play like that when they have the talent that Alabama has.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's just so many. This game's so intriguing.
Yes.
There's just so many different little matchups and little wrinkles that make this game really cool. We'll get back deeper into it in about 45 minutes from right now. 12:20. We got some new audio from Kirby talking about one of the former assistants that he leaned on to try to get some information about Kalen DeBoer. Yeah. All right. Here's Raheem. We'll talk to Dave Archer, by the way, in 10 minutes. Get his thoughts on Sunday night, and also talk about the Saints game coming up this weekend. Here's Raheem Morris talking about what happened last time the Falcons played the Saints.
I don't go with motivation that I wasn't a part of. Okay. You know, you know, if you need any more motivation than playing against a division rival for the South, that you got the pen in your hand to be able to write your own story, and you probably in the wrong building anyway. So, like, you know, there's no secret about the Saints, the Bucks, and Carolina, particularly this week. The team that you focus on is better be the Saints. And you got to find a way to go out there and beat a really competitive, well-coached team at our place.
Yeah, I mean.
Yes, that's the right thing to say.
Yeah.
The last time they played the Saints, however, and a lot of these guys were on that team,
yeah.
The Saints beat their brains in,
yes.
And then scored a touchdown, yes. In victory formation, yes. At the end. And
yes.
Arthur Smith got fired that second.
Yes.
How do you feel about it? Tell me how you feel about it.
And he was fired before that.
Yeah, and then Jameis was that. That's what happened last time they played. That's your rival.
Yeah.
And then they embarrassed
you. Regret that?
So. And you know, I'm not going to go there with the whole rivalry thing because it is. I'm not going to do that no more.
It is.
Because everybody and got
it,
all upset with me.
It is.
It is, Randy. What are you talking about?
Fine. It's a big one.
Fine.
And everyone knows it, Randy.
Fine.
Everyone.
Fine. Rivalry, all that other good stuff. I'm here for it.
It
I'm
is.
Here for it, baby. Not going to go that route again.
It's one of the biggest. Maybe the biggest.
Biggest what? I mean, these teams go way back. Still to this day, I've always been baffled how the damn Falcons were in the NFC West all those years. Remember, it was the Falcons, it was the Saints, uh-huh. It was the 49ers, and the Rams, I think it was, right? Yeah.
West of what?
That's what I'm saying. Like, how the hell are they in the West?
It's like the ACC right now.
Yeah, man. Yeah, but it's going to be the thing with it is, and obviously we'll talk to Dave.
Dude, even if that wasn't your rival,
yeah.
If they did that to you, you got to want to make them pay for it.
Yeah, of course you would.
Because a lot of these guys are on that
but
team.
But the thing about it is that motivation that you think that people think that because they got beat by 40, it gets your ass beat by 40, and you got to play this game. Because they're different. They're still the same players, but it's a different type team, especially on offense. So. But I can always go like, yeah, we thought about it. When the Falcons beat the Saints.
They'll talk about it like that. Yeah, everyone will say they're not thinking about it till after the game.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, yes, of course we were thinking about it. But if we say that they might be thinking about it before the game, we're crazy. But then when they say they were thinking about it, then man. What?
It'll be like that, dog.
So they're thinking about it.
It'll be
of
like
course
that.
They are. They scored a touchdown in victory formation.
Ain't nobody thinking about that right now.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not. And Jameis ain't playing. He the one did
but
it.
He might be for the other team.
He the one did it.
He didn't play for the Saints anymore. That memory will last forever. Dave Archer will join us next. We'll get his thoughts on what the Falcons need to do to beat the Saints on Sunday. Of course, get some final thoughts on the Chiefs game as well. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Because we ready over here. This ain't Pastor Troy's version, though. No, okay.
Similar. Similarities. We'll get to an NFL no huddle coming up in about 20 minutes. College football corner at 12:20. There's a lot to talk about as it relates to college football, of course, continuing to look ahead to the huge game on Saturday night between Georgia and Alabama. But this UNLV quarterback story is pretty wild.
Yeah, man.
Pretty wild stuff in the era of the NIL. Maybe the most NIL story that we've seen thus far, and different little rumors and stuff are coming out about it. So we'll get back into that at 12:20. But before we do any of that, 11:40 on Wednesdays mean Dave Archer joins the show. Arch, how are you?
What up, Dave?
Fellas, good to be with you. Randy, hey, tell me, is Georgia-Alabama, is it a rivalry now? You know, you talk about Georgia and Auburn. Is it considered a rivalry?
Not when you're 1-5 against them. I don't look at it that way. That's just me.
Yeah, well, okay. I just want to check.
No, it's called a hate week, Dave. Hate week. That's all it is.
You guys at Georgia have a lot of hate week. Georgia,
hell yeah.
Tech, Auburn,
yeah.
There's a lot of hate week.
Florida.
Yeah, we hate them all.
Florida, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, what does it take for something to become a rivalry? Like, Falcons Saints are playing on Sunday. We'll spend plenty of time talking about that. That's a rivalry. There's obviously, you went to Iowa State. You've got a huge rivalry with Iowa. What does it take for something to become a rivalry?
Well, I think there's got to be some ability to beat the other team, you know, in at least an even amount.
Right.
And I think that sometimes that doesn't, and just what Randy was talking about, you're talking about 1-5 in your last six contests against Alabama. But I think what's on the line has something to do with it, too. And Georgia and Alabama played for everything. And this weekend is going to be a huge game. I get a chance to be over there. I'm going to call the game on radio, so I can't
wait
for that.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
I'm excited about going over there and watching these two teams play and what it's meant to this conference since these two teams have really kind of surged to supremacy over the last 5 or 6 years. So I just think you got to have a degree of success against one another. I think it's one-sided. There's a lot of conversation about the Bedlam series and it going away, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. Well, Oklahoma used to beat the hell out of Oklahoma State.
They did.
they won like, you know, they played like 60 times, and the Cowboys have won like 14 games or something like that. I don't know if that's a rivalry or not.
Hey, Dave. All right, so we talked about this. I'm talking about the last couple years as far as offensive execution. Now, this team is six. I'm talking about the Falcons. 6 of 27 on third down this year. We understand that's horrible, but what is it? And I don't know if you noticed or not. What is their percentage play gain on first down, Dave? Because you always talk about it. You got to be good on first down to be a good third down team.
It's a great comment. It's a great thought. That's exactly where my eyes went. I don't have the exact number for you, Randy. I know that our percentage per play in this last game, based on only running 56 plays, was better than Kansas City's. Mm-hmm. But Kansas City ran 72 plays. So that's the real crux of the deal, is you're not running enough plays. I know everybody wants Kyle Pitts to get the ball and Drake London to get the ball and Bijan to carry it 20 times. Well, you got to have enough plays to run it, and some of it has to do with what you're talking about. I've got to be successful on first down. I got to be successful on second down, because the numbers, and you know it as well as I do, Randy, the numbers on third and long in the National Football League are probably sub 20%, and we've been in that area a great deal. Now, not so much this last game, and that's the part that gets you, have you scratching your head. You didn't convert in third and medium a great deal in this last game either. So you can bet that Zach Robinson and that entire offensive staff are scrubbing things, trying to clean things up. What do we need to do to make sure that we're in manageable and convertible situations?
With a couple days now to think about it, maybe watch some tape on it, certainly talk to guys about it, what stands out to you about those final two drives?
Well, this is a team that's got some clutchness to it, it seems like, Andy. I think that there's the quarterback has a lot to do with that. We were talking about this yesterday on the podcast, Falcons Audible, we do on AtlantaFalcons.com, and I thought Kirk did a really good job of kind of shifting gears. Once Caleb McGarry and Drew Dahlman went down, I thought Steve Spagnuolo shifted gears and said, okay, I'm coming to get you. You can't block me. And as it turned out, it snuffed out the run game, too, because they were kind of running through the run game to get to the quarterback in the pass game. They did a really good job of keeping Bijan Robinson in the backfield with the blitzing. Bijan was stepping up and picking people up when you want him out. Right. And I guarantee you that's another thing that Zach's looking at. This is a copycat league, and you can bet New Orleans is going to bring some of that stuff in this next game to see if you fixed it. So you want Bijan out of the pocket. But I thought getting back to Kirk – I thought Kirk did a really good job pre-snap of saying, you know what, I'm not going to be able to wait till after the ball snap to determine where I'm going to go with the ball. I'm going to determine that pre-snap. And that's not necessarily something the quarterback wants to do, because you guys know things can change once the ball snaps. But I thought he did a really good job of identifying soft corners, identifying soft defenders in the slot so he could get the ball out on time. And I thought that kick started and got the wheel rolling in those last two series.
Dave, real quick, because we were talking about it actually Monday after the game, the fourth down play where it comes out, Kirk changes the play and everything like that. I thought it was, if you're going to change it, that was a perfect play. Algiers, in my opinion, I think he just had a wrong read. What was your thought process on all that?
Yeah, and it's a check with me at the line of scrimmage, so he's not necessarily changing to something. Okay. They had a check with me. They either were going to run it one way or the other, and you know as well as I do, Randy, when he goes can, a lot of times he's flipping the play to the other side. So that's what he did at the line of scrimmage. I know a lot of people are saying he audible to do that. He just went with the check with me, and he went with the one that he thought, based on the look, was the better play.
Right.
So, yeah, and you've got Tyler Allgeier. How many times has Tyler been asked to be a lead blocker?
Correct.
And with them on the line of scrimmage the way they were, Bolden picked the line to run through, and I don't think Tyler actually picked him up visually to be able to hit him in the hole. He ran, and that's where Bolden came through. So I wasn't too concerned about going for it. I know there was a lot of conversation about what should you have gone for. Should you kick the field goal? Now, obviously, in that final drive, you had to go. But to drive before that, should you have gone for it or kicked the field goal? I know you guys have debated that. I think, Randy, you said you would have kicked the field goal.
Yep.
I think there's a lot of people that might have kicked it with 4 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
But then all of a sudden you give the guys the best in the game,
yep,
the football with 4 minutes left, and do you ever see the ball again?
Right.
You know, so there's that debate. And I know you said it in real time. A lot of people want to say it after the fact, and that's easy to do. So I credit you for saying that right at the time. But I didn't have a problem with the play. They felt like they were in the best play. There was one of two. And he didn't change the play. He just okay, went to the one to check with me.
Gotcha.
Hey, Arch, do you think that quarterback sneak is something that's on there – play sheet, or is Kirk's physical limitation something that sort of takes that away? Is that something that you think that they would do?
I think you could get to the quarterback sneak with him. I don't think he has a problem with that. I know that the perception of him driving off that leg, but if he can drop and throw, Andy, or it you know, bootleg, if you're running stuff from under center and he's having to reach to get to Bijan to get him the football and then bootleg out of that, I don't know why you would have a problem with him quarterback sneaking.
Okay.
Dave, give me some lowdown on the Saints. Obviously, they were red hot 2 weeks ago. Philadelphia did a great job against them. What's the thing about this Saints team?
Well, they're really good on defense again this year. They've got 11. They got 11 sacks in their first three games. They got three guys. Granderson has become a monster. Brzee, the youngster from Clemson, has been really good on the interior. So they're rushing the passer at a high level. They've got five interceptions already in the first three games. I thought the Philadelphia-New Orleans game was as hard a hitting defensive game as I've seen in a long time. They flat got after each other. Atlanta's going to have to be ready for the physicality because that's what New Orleans likes to play. They're going to have to bring it at them. And, frankly, we didn't necessarily handle it that well against Kansas City on the offensive side. I think our defense is going to be challenged some, but Alvin Kamara is the head of the snake.
Right.
You got to make sure you take care of Kamara, and then you got to find Olave. Don't let Olave break your back.
Arch, Randy always talks about sort of breaking seasons down into quarters, first four games, get a better idea of who the team is, maybe more than just one or two. How will Sunday's outcome shape your outlook on these first four games?
Well, it's certainly going to paint a picture, Andy, moving forward of are you even? Are you in a hole? Where are you from what you're going to need to do in the next 13 games? But I think that when I look at this team, Andy, you have not performed very well or consistently offensively. You're near the last of the league on third down conversions. You're near the last of the league in time of possession. The defense has been on the field about 35 minutes per game, and you've had the chance to win all three.
Yep. Crazy.
If you just fix a little bit of it, what does that do to you? All of a sudden, now you're winning all of those games. So I think it could flip around pretty quickly as this team gets to know one another. I thought the Justin Simmons interception was an indication of that.
Mm-hmm.
It was Justin Simmons and Bates got a little screwed up in the Philly game. Remember, they got a touchdown pass in the middle part of the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
Those two guys were talking to each other. What did they do this game? Those two guys had communicated. Bates rolls up. Simmons rolls over the top and picks Patrick Mahomes for the sixth time in his career. So it's just you can see him growing right before your eyes, but obviously you don't want to drop a divisional game in your own building, Eddie.
No doubt.
Arch, we appreciate the time.
Dan.
Thank you.
Have a good call, D.
Thanks guys. See you guys.
Dave Archer there, Falcons radio analyst. You'll hear him here Sunday afternoon calling the Falcons and the Saints game. Hell of a weekend for Arch. He'll be calling the Georgia-Bama game on the radio
as
well on
Saturday.
Man.
Good for him, man.
Biggest game of the college football weekend on Saturday night. Comes over to Atlanta for the Saints-Falcons rivalry on Sunday. That's a hell of a weekend.
Hell yeah, man. I mean, it's just – and he's absolutely right about the Saints. The Saints are rough.
Yeah, they got great defense.
They are rough, man. Yeah. And we talked about DeMarre Davis. He's one of the most underrated defensive players in all of ball. Brice, the young kid out of Clemson, seemed like he's figured it out.
He's playing
good. And he seemed like he's figured it out. And their corners, I mean, they can get after. Atlanta going to have their damn hands full.
Yeah.
They got their damn hands full.
Yeah, man. And, and we didn't even – that was before we saw what the offense would do. Like, we kind of knew that would – if 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, we were like, yeah, that Saints defense is going to make it the day hard for you. Then they went out and scored 40 points twice in the first three games.
Yeah.
Got to beat them, though.
Yeah.
Can't be 0-3 at home.
Hell no, you can't.
Can't be 1-3 in the first four. Anyway, we'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. Get back into some college football coming up at 12:20 as well. First hour of the show brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.